Your Truth or Mine by Tricia Saklecha, read by Avita Jay and Homer Todiwala with Kristen Atherton.
When it all unravels, what will they believe? Roy. Sunday, the 6th of December. London. Nothing has changed, but everything is different. I am standing here, in my beautiful kitchen, watching my beautiful wife cook what smells like an incredible breakfast, and I know nothing has changed. I watch her move, measuring, stirring, distractedly dipping her little finger in the batter to taste it, then wincing and snatching it back when she realizes she miscalculated the temperature. She's lost in her thoughts, earphones plugged in, moving to a soundless beat, pausing every couple of minutes to sip her coffee. I wonder what she's listening to. It must be something upbeat, peppy, I decide. I lean forward to try and decipher the hum that escapes her earphones, and it surprises me how long I take to recognize the song. Way Back Into Love. Our song. I remember listening to this years ago. Both of us still innocent and desperately in love, cramped together on the narrow bed in her room, each with one earphone plugged in, the one on the right hearing the vocals and the one on the left hearing the beats, singing along, trusting that love alone would be enough to hold it all together. We were so naive, so stupid. Despite the warmth of the kitchen, I shiver. I force myself back to the present and gear myself up for what is to follow. Mia looks happy, relaxed. I walk up to her and wrap my arms around her, burying my face in her neck, smelling her hair, letting her blissful oblivion envelop me, a momentary shield against the storm that is about to rip through my life.
Roy?
Mia calls out from the kitchen.
Who is it, Roy?
I hear the scramble of footsteps as Mia rushes into the hallway to investigate. Her meddling buys me some time to compose myself and, just this once, I'm truly grateful for her interference in anything and everything that goes on in my life. She cranes her neck to look past me into the front porch, and I realize I've only opened the door a fraction. I relax my grip on it, turning to look at Mia as I take a small step back. She looks terrified.
What? What's happened? Is it Mummy? Adi? What's wrong?
She's panicking, of course. She's done this before, I think, and I am hit with the sudden urge to protect her. The woman speaks first. She's small, slight, perhaps 5'4", with tied back brown hair, a round face, and sympathetic, deep-set eyes. She looks out of place in her skirt suit, standing next to the uniformed officer. She reminds me of Mrs. Sen, my primary school English teacher. Her voice is hesitant as she addresses Mia.
Mrs. Kapoor?
Mia nods slightly, quickly, and she carries on, her voice more confident this time.
Everything is all right, Mrs. Kapoor. We're from the Metropolitan Police. We just have a few questions for your husband. May we come in?
She says, her gaze fixed on Mia. Another nod and I realize I can no longer refuse without looking like I have something to hide. I let go of the door and step back, giving them a proper glimpse of the hallway for the first time. The woman introduces herself and the other policeman, but I don't register their names. We go straight into the dining room. They look around, taking in the high ceilings, the large windows, the newly installed open-plan kitchen. They glance at the array of pictures and knick-knacks on the mantelpiece, souvenirs from Mia's travels and mine over the years, shimmering under the unexpected winter sun. I can see the envy in their eyes. At 31, I've already achieved more than they ever will. In other circumstances, I might have let them look through the pictures. I might have even enjoyed showing off a little bit, but right now I want them out.